Let us pray.
Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this morning, how Thou hast brought us to church, to Sunday school. Lord, we pray for teachable hearts, that the Holy Spirit may teach us many wonderful truths, and that we will learn of these truths and apply it in our lives. Forgive us our sins, Lord, for there are many. And we pray, Lord, that Thou will cleanse us and that sinners may be convicted and believers edified by Thy word. Lord, we pray especially for many who are ill, who are infected by the COVID-19 and many other illnesses, that Thou will restore them to perfect health, that Thou will give us Thy blessing, and we will remember that it is Thee who has healed us and restored us. And we will praise Thee and thank Thee for all Thy goodness to us. We pray for today's class, that many will be edified, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Welcome to Sunday School. Today is Lesson 3 on David and Goliath, the famous battle between David and Goliath. And we start with the introduction here. The Philistines assembled their army at Soko. Saul assembled his army at the Valley of Elah. And the Philistines occupied one hill, and the Israelites occupied another. The Valley of Elah was between the two armies. This is taken from 1 Samuel 17, 1-3. Let me show you where the Valley of Elah is, or was. This is the map of Kingdom of Israel in blue, and you see a red dot, and that is the Valley of Elah, where the army of the Philistines and the valley and the army of Israelites gathered for battle. And you notice that this red dot is in blue territory. That means it is in the Kingdom of Israel. So meaning, you look at Philistia, the territory of the Philistine country is just a little to the left. That is Philistine country, where Goliath comes from. And they were sort of encroaching into Israelite territory in the blue area. And so Saul and army is resisting their advancement into the kingdom. Okay, so you see this map, and you'll be familiar that there's Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Gath, Gera. They are all Philistine cities. And then the rest in the blue territory, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, these are cities that you are well familiar with. And the other cities are all in the blue territory, which is the Kingdom of Israel. So the battle was situated in the Kingdom of Israel, where Goliath and the Philistine were advancing into the kingdom. And the reason why they were able to do that was because of the mighty champion of the Philistine, Goliath. And Goliath's challenge to Israelites is found in 1 Samuel 17, 4-11. Let me read to you. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits and a span is almost 3 meters. Okay, if you just imagine, the standard height of a door at home is about 2 meters. Your door height. Goliath is about 3 meters high. So it's very high. He's a very tall man, very big. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. So you notice he wears a bronze helmet, in the picture, and then he wears a coat of mail. It's like armor, yeah, so that protects his body from weapons and swords and spears. And then he also has many other parts protecting his body. And he has a sword, a spear. He also carries a shield. Okay? And all his armor that he wears is 5,000 shekels, 57 kilograms. That's very heavy. 57 kilograms, you imagine how heavy you are, and 57 kilograms is as heavy as an adult person, you know? So it's a lot of armor to carry. Then David brought food to his brothers at the battle and also tended to the sheep. Yeah? So let me read on. So what did Goliath say? Verse 8, chapter 17. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. So he says, here I am. I will fight anyone you choose to fight me. Yeah? And he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. So if I kill your representative, you will be, all of you Israelites will be our servants. And if you kill me, all the Philistines will be your servants. So that was his challenge to the Israelites. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So here is a huge giant, 3 meters high, challenging them. And the Israelites were very afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And 3 elder sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, firstborn, next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. So Jesse, as you recall, in the last lesson, his 3 sons, the 3 elder sons, went with Saul to fight Goliath in the battle. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. And David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. So it was the 3 eldest sons and David who went to the battlefield of the Philistines. And then David returned back to Bethlehem to feed the father's sheep. And Goliath shouted at the Israelites, and the Israelites ran in fear. Okay, let me read from verse 20, what happened there. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Yeah. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. So, early in the morning, David set out from Bethlehem, yeah, going to the battleground, and the 2 armies were already sort of aligned to fight each other. And he talked with them. David talked to the soldiers, the Israelite soldiers. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled him, and were sore afraid. So David saw for himself Goliath came up and all the Israelites fled away because they were so afraid of the giant. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killed him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter, make his father's house free in Israel." So among the Israelite army, they're talking among themselves that the king has already decreed that whoever is victorious against Goliath will have great rewards and will also get to marry the king's daughter, the princess. And David spake to the man, saying, "What shall be done to this man? What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So you see, David is very brave. He is always championing on the side of God, Jehovah. And he says, "Who is this Philistine who dared to defy our living God?" And people answered him after this manner, saying, "So that it shall be done to the man that killeth him." So Israelites told David, yeah, whoever killed Goliath will get to inherit, will get many rewards from King Saul. So then next, what happens? Eliab, the eldest brother, was at the battleground, made certain accusation against David. Okay? And this part is interesting. Eliab says, "Why camest thou down hither?" Why did you come here, David? In a very accusing manner. "And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Now, who did you pass the sheep to? Those sheep you are responsible for. You are the shepherd. Who did you pass the sheep to? I know your pride, your naughtiness, and the naughtiness of thine heart. How mischievous you are. Because for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You came here to entertain yourself, to watch the battle. You have been irresponsible. You have put away your sheep and you are here out of your own pride and to see the battle, not for any good reason. So this is Eliab's accusation against his youngest brother, David. But we all know David's reason for going to the battle. Yeah? And that is found in verse 17 to 19. Let me read to you verse 17 to 19. "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren." So it was an instruction from the father, Jesse, to bring food to the Israelites at the battleground. "And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how their brethren fare, how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." So bring these cheese as well to the captain, and also look out for your brothers, the 3 brothers who are in the battlefield, and get some assurance from them that they are well, that things are going well with them. So, and bring back news again to the father, Jesse. So, David was there to bring food as well as to look after and to see for himself how his 3 brothers are doing and bring back news to the father. So that was the reason why David went. Not what Eliab accused him of. "You are here just to enjoy yourself. Look at the battle. You're a proud and naughty brother. And you are also irresponsible for you have put away your sheep to other people." Not like that, yeah? But the thing is that that's what happens, yeah? Biased people, yeah? Like Eliab, we also have bias against the youngest, the weakest, and the junior. And we also make judgment against them without ascertaining the facts. Oftentimes, you know, when we're all young, when we're all teenagers or children, we have siblings. And we think, oh, the youngest one is the one which is not so clever, not so experienced, doesn't know many things. Don't listen to him or her. He's not going to be helpful. He's the youngest. That's usually the biasness of the elders. And that may be true, generally speaking. The youngest do not know much, not experienced in life, as the eldest. Yeah? But it is not the case for all situations. Let me share with you my own perspective with my students. I teach in the university, and I expect my students to answer certain questions in a certain method. And I set my exam questions with an outline of the answer. Of course, the students do not know the outline of my answer. And then they come back with answers. And based on my thinking, if the answer is not according to my outline, they are wrong. Yeah? Because I ought to know more than them. They are my students. There are a number of students, small number, who came back with a different answer. And they were right. Surprisingly, these are small numbers. Of course, most of them who do not follow my answer, they were wrong. They couldn't give the right reason to arrive at the answer. You know, when you give yes or no answer, you give yes, and the reason is this. No, and the reasons are these. Right? So, there is a perfect yes or no answer. It's either yes is the right answer, or no is the right answer. It cannot be both. And when you give me a yes answer, which is the right answer, you must give me the right reason. Right answer, right reason. Okay? So some students give me the right answer, wrong reason, that's wrong. Right answer, right reason, that's right. Yeah? And the reason must be according to my outline. But small numbers did not give reason according to my outline. And they were right. Yeah. So, and I began to take note that there are students who are quite clever. Yeah, so, and I just want to illustrate my bias. I tend to be biased. I'm right, students are wrong. Yeah, so, but again, you know, let's be a bit more objective. It's not all the time that the youngest and the most junior are wrong. You have to listen to them and then ascertain the facts and then consider and then decide whether it's right or wrong. And that's what happened here in Eliab. He did not ascertain why David came. He just concluded, you're the youngest brother. Lazy, irresponsible, put away your sheep and came down to the battlefield to entertain yourself with the battle. You know, what else can you be doing here? Yeah. But he did not realize, he did not ascertain the facts that it was his father who instructed him to bring food to the army and also to look at their welfare and make and report back to the father. So he was there for a good purpose, not a naughty purpose or a mischievous purpose, or out of his own pride that he's there. Yeah? So that's a spiritual lesson that we may learn here about our bias against other people. So you have this picture of David and Goliath. And look how huge and tall Goliath is, with a spear, a sword, and a shield. And David, he's not even wearing an armor. He doesn't have a weapon except for a small slingshot. Yeah? And you look at the background. Yeah? This is the valley of Elah. Yeah? On the left is the Philistine army. On the right is the Israelite army. And the valley is what that which separates the two armies on both sides. So David met Saul earlier on, and after much persuasion, Saul agreed for David to fight Goliath. And so David went out into the battlefield and met Goliath. Goliath belittled David in the battlefield. And David responds in the name of God. Okay? So let's look at how David, or Goliath, belittled David. Okay? Goliath saw that David was only a boy. And Goliath despised David. Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? You know, he is a huge man, a giant. And you saw a small little boy there. David was like a little boy, yeah? And he asked David, are you coming to me with sticks? And he threatened David, I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and beasts of the field. Yeah? So, and what is David's response? I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds of the air, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. So David, his focus, his weapon is only one. God was his weapon. He doesn't say, I come to you with my fist or my slingshot. Yeah, agility to run around. And I have killed a lion and a bear and I'm very strong. I can overcome you. No. He just says, I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. And the Lord will hand you over to me. So it is all faith in God. Yeah? He had great faith in the Lord. And despite the strong opponent, David was unafraid. And this part is important. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword and spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. He doesn't say, I'm going to fight you, the battle is between you and I. No. It is the Lord's battle. The Lord will fight Goliath. And he, the Lord, will give all of you into our hands. The Lord will give all of you into our hands. Not, I will defeat you and vanquish you. No. It is the Lord who will win, and he will deliver the victory to the Israelites. That's what David said. He knew that he's nothing. He's a small boy. Weak. You look at his size compared to Goliath. How is he going to defeat Goliath? No way. He doesn't have the strength as Goliath has, or the experience in warfare. He doesn't even carry a sword. He wouldn't know how to use it. The sword is too heavy for him. Or a shield, or the armor. He is not a man of battle. He is a shepherd boy. How is he going to defeat an experienced warrior like Goliath? No way. So he is saying this battle is the Lord's battle. That's his faith. And the Lord will defeat Goliath. Not he will defeat. The Lord will defeat Goliath, and the Lord will give Goliath and the Philistines into his hands. Yeah. Very great faith in the Lord. Yeah. He knows his weakness, but he has great faith in the Lord that it will be overcome. And David defeated Goliath, yeah? So now I would like you to watch this video. And I want you to observe Goliath's belittling of David. How Goliath, the huge giant of a man, mocks David. Who are you? Why you send me a boy here? Go away, boy. And then David's brave response, in the name of the Lord, showing that he has great faith, God will deliver Goliath to his hand. Look at the two persons, their exchange.
Destiny of Israel in the hands of a little shepherd boy.
Yes, but it's a useless sacrifice.
No, not a useless sacrifice. An act of faith. Faith. That is what I saw in that boy's eyes. In all your faces I saw distrust and doubt. Even in my son's face. You to keep away from me? Are you deaf? Go away! Go away! Or did you come here to beg some food? Take this! Get out of here! Hurry up!
I've come here to answer your challenge. In the name of Jehovah, God of the hosts of Israel.
You? They sent you to answer my challenge? Did you hear that? Did you all hear that, comrades? I asked for a man to fight with me, and they sent me a boy! Not even that! It's a girl! Isn't she pretty?
Jehovah's put you in my hands.
What are you going to do? You think I'm a dog? Is that why you brought your stone?
You're worse than a dog. I'll kill you. I'll cut off your head and leave your body behind for the birds and the wild beasts. Then the whole world will know that Israel has a God.
Right, so you saw a little clip there of the battle between David and Goliath, and you see how Goliath is a huge man, and he belittles little David. And David has a lot of faith in God. He responded that God will be victorious, and God will hand him over to David. So what is the spiritual lesson here? Yeah. We have bias against David. Jesse did not parade David among his sons before Samuel. You remember a couple of lessons ago, when Samuel went to Bethlehem to anoint the person to be chosen by God to be the next king. Jesse paraded all his sons except David, because Jesse thinks that David cannot be the chosen heir to the king. He's a little shepherd boy, yeah, and he's not good enough to be king. So, bias against David. Eliab mocked David for being proud in coming to the battlefield to be entertained. So his eldest brother also mocked him, that you're a young boy. What can you do in the battlefield? How can you help? You're here because you are proud and mischievous. You're here to watch and to entertain yourself in the battle. And then even Saul told David that he could not fight Goliath as he was only a boy. Yeah? And then finally, Goliath saw that David was only a boy and despised him. You saw the video clip of the drama between David and Goliath. So, it's a bias against David. And spiritual lessons we learn, that's what the world looks at. The world looks at appearance. And even the father, the brother, the king, the enemy, Goliath, all despised David because he was little and nothing worth to look at. And the world looks, if you are good looking, if you sound good, then you are good. That's how the world looks at you. But God looks at the heart and chose David. Yeah, because David is a man after God's own heart. Yeah, David will always yearn towards God and look up to God and do that which is pleasing to God. That's what God looks forward to in David. And due to our lack of good appearance, we may be overlooked by the world. But if God is for us, who can be against us? Yes. Many of us, we are in the world. Many of us, we are not huge and big and good looking, energetic, well-built, we are not. Yeah? But if God is for us, who can be against us? Like little David. Yeah? Everybody says David is no good. Young and inexperienced. But God was for David. And David won a mighty battle against Goliath. David sought God's glory. He won the battle in God's name. So we must also seek God's glory, approach the problem in God's name and for His glory, not our own glory. So there is an important lesson we have to learn here, spiritual lesson. God is on David's side because David approached the problem from the glory of God. He is going to fight the battle to win glory for God. It's always glorifying God, praising the Lord, giving thanksgiving to the Lord. And the Lord loves David because of that. In the same way, if we glorify God and we bring glory and praise to God, God will be pleased with us. And we must also approach our problem with God's perspective in mind. To bring glory to God, to approach the problem in God's name, for His glory, not our own glory. And God will help us. So be a David. Yeah? Despite being overlooked by the world, be faithful in the Lord. The Lord vindicates us, just as He vindicated little David. We have problems in our life. All of us, we have problems, yeah, in our lives. Either family conflicts, work conflicts, conflicts with the boss, conflicts with your colleagues, and so on and so forth. And the world looks at us and sees a little man or little woman, not worthy of being looked at. But if we are faithful to God, if we do that which please God, God will fight the battle for us and we will win the battle. Just as he fought the battle for little David and he won the battle for David. And he delivered Goliath to David's hand. A big challenge for David. Literally speaking, Goliath was a big man, David was a very little boy. And yet, David won the battle. I'd like to re-emphasize again, that if we can learn from David, many battles we will be able to overcome. Don't be a Goliath. Don't be biased against David. If we are Goliath, the big bully, don't take advantage of the little. Don't bully and have no fear of God. And Goliath relying on his own strength, strong as he may be. If we think we are mighty, we are somewhere in the top of society, lots of people look up to us, we are famous, and by what I say, by what we say, other people will listen to us and follow our instructions. Don't think that you have that because you are strong, you are mighty, or you are intelligent, but because God gave you the power, the strength, and the intelligence. Remember that as easy as you have those power and intelligence, you can also easily lose them. God is almighty. He put one up at the top and he put one down. He has all the power to remove all the power and strength and intelligence from you. So don't be a Goliath. Don't be proud of what you have. Be a David. Look up and be faithful to the Lord. And he will deliver you just as he delivered little David. So who or what is our Goliath? Interesting question. Who or what is our Goliath? Your Goliath is your big challenge today. It can be your boss at work, a colleague, staff, family, friends, competitor company, illness, you suffered a demotion, and other setbacks in life, etc. These may be your Goliaths. They face big challenges to you. And you are trying to overcome these challenges. So what then? How to overcome our Goliath? If the Goliath is your boss, a mighty boss who plies you with work 24/7, you expect to reply to his email at night. You are expected to answer his questions, even to the small hours of the morning. Your Goliath is your boss. And there are bosses like that today, of course. They are good bosses too. So, how do you overcome such a boss who is your Goliath? Is it God's will for you to leave or stay on in the company? So pray. Is it God's will for you to leave or stay on in the company? A colleague who is taking advantage of you. He takes credit for your work and tells the boss, oh, he did all the work, whereas actually you did the work. Or he tells the boss about all the things, all the bad things, in inverted commas, that you have done. Character assassination. Again, That's your Goliath. Is it God's will to report to the boss if a colleague uses bad practices at the workplace? Staff, your own staff, who are have bad behavior, ill discipline in the workplace. Is it God's will to discipline the staff in the company? Even among friends and families, you have difficult members of the family, causes a lot of distress. We need fervent prayer to God to relieve the distress. So it is, with all these trials, whether at your workplace, at home, with friends, colleagues, there are no coincidences. It is there for you to exercise your faith in God. As in, it is not a coincidence that David had to meet Goliath in the battlefield. God put David in front of Goliath. And for God to put David in front of Goliath, God must bring Goliath into the story. For David and Goliath to have battle. And what is God's purpose? David will win. God will deliver Goliath to David. David will win. And he will ultimately become king. See the big picture here. So it is with our lives, brothers and sisters in Christ. Why do we have wave after wave of problems in our lives? To test us. Trials and tribulations will always be there in our life. You read in, I recall 1 Peter. Yeah? It is to test us, our faith. So, don't look at trials and tribulations as though it is something very, very unfortunate, something very, that is not supposed to happen. Our life is supposed to be very comfortable and smooth going, and that's the will of God. No, that's not the will of God. The will of God is for us to go through trials and tribulations. That's recorded in Scripture for us. Big picture, so that we will develop our faith in the Lord. So I'm sorry to say, brothers and sisters, if you think that you come to God and God will bless you with comfortable life and everything will be plain and rosy, you are wrong. And every time we see a Goliath in our life, many Goliaths, many trials and tribulations as we age. We don't go to court. We go to God in prayer, asking Him to deliver us. That's how we grow our faith. And God delivers. Yes, He does. Living testimony here. Illnesses, trouble in the work, He delivers. When there's a Goliath in my workplace, big push factor, I leave, God prepares another place for me to work. Yeah. All the time, praise the Lord. Not a single time has God cast me aside and says, no, it's not my business anymore, you just do what you wish. No, God provides all the time. But we must have faith in the Lord. Don't turn away from Him. Pray to Him, cry out to Him, He will answer you in His good time. Very important. And be righteous in your deeds. Don't take revenge. Yeah? Many of you find that, okay, this person is against me, I'm going to do this to him. Don't do that. That is not the Lord's will. But rely on God. God will deliver you. So I would like you to take a few minutes to share your Goliath and how to overcome. To share your Goliath and how to overcome. I'm sure you know what I mean. Your Goliath. Just take a few minutes and either in groups discuss or contemplate as you sit, think individually among yourselves. Yes, praise the Lord. I think it does give us a lot of ideas about our behavior, whether we ourselves are Goliath. And also, of course, we think of other people being Goliath. They are bullying me. And whether I'm responding just as badly like Goliath. Goliath against Goliath. Yeah, that is quite sad. So we must be a David. Always think, am I reacting properly like a David? Yeah. Am I a David here? Or am I reacting against Goliath like a Goliath? Yeah. So let us go to God in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy loving care. How this battle between David and Goliath throws light in our everyday life. How we meet many Goliaths in our lives, trials and tribulations. And these are put there by Thee, that we will practice faith in Thee and to react righteously, not with revenge or with anger, with hatred in our heart. Forgive us, Lord, that many a times we do not react like a David. Forgive us for our sin, for we have sin in us when Thou put trials and tribulations in our life. We think of the worst and we behave badly. So Lord, we pray for forgiveness for ourselves, that we can react properly, righteously before Thee, and to be a person after Thy own heart. We pray for Thy goodness and Thy mercy on us, for Thou knowest we are of dust, and we will sin before Thee all the time. And we pray that Thou will forgive us and bless us always. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.